Welcome to GhostBiz here on the Business Report on Nova 103.5. I'm Gary Strubel, and our privilege and pleasure to welcome back the Ghost after a week's break. The whole of Namibia taking almost a long weekend for a week and a half, but we're back at work and time for GhostBiz. So, Ghost, let's start out with some interesting stories coming from ghostmail.co.za, your most excellent newsletter. And one I picked up here is British America Tobacco, who many of our listeners would be familiar with and users of their products, or sometimes ex-users judging the current users. It looks like things are going pretty well for British America Tobacco, which flies a little bit in the face of what is commonly sort of thought, that people are smoking less. Tell us what's going on there.
Hi, Gary, and to all the listeners. Gosh, I wish I could take a week and a half worth of long weekend, but I can only dream. Just kidding. British American Tobacco, interesting one. Enjoyed the joke there about judgy ex-users and users and non-users and the whole shebang. It's clearly not going to be the kind of company that is super popular at the end of the day. They do actually manage to have an amazing ESG rating, which tells you basically everything you need to know about the world of ESG and how little just common sense is actually applied to it. So it is obviously very much a sunset industry in terms of tobacco. And British American Tobacco is in a bit of a race against time to try and replace it with what they call non-combustibles, which is essentially their calling all pockets strategy to try and get people to use other things like vapes and all kinds of other products. I am no expert in any of this stuff. I have never smoked, never intend to smoke. So I kind of just gloss over the details a bit because I don't understand all the different products really. What I do understand is the numbers. And at British American Tobacco, it is all about just grinding out small revenue growth, trying to then get margins ever so slightly higher, and then converting most of that into cash, which then flows through into dividends over time. Now, it is obviously a lot more nuanced than that. At the moment, they are running a little bit hot on debt, and they're looking to bring that down through various initiatives, one of which, by the way, is selling down their stake in their Indian investment, which is pretty interesting. But their latest announcement is that they are running ahead of expectations. Now, to give you an idea of how modest that growth is, they got the market excited by pointing out that for FY25, so basically that kind of aligns with the calendar year actually, because I think their year end is December, they expect revenue growth to be between 1% and 2%, and that got the market excited. So as you can see, very much a slow growth story. They think adjusted profit from operations will be up between 1.5% and 2.5%. And a big part of why people are interested in this stock is because they see it as very defensive. They see it as being a non-cyclical stock because people smoke regardless. Look, it's not for me. I like to buy companies that are growing, not companies that are just managing their decline. But lots of people do like this thing, so fair play.
So let's turn our attention now to sometimes we look at stocks to find out what's going on in other industries. One of those stocks is Bell. Bell Equipment has been through a torrid time over the last year and a half or so with some shareholder actions and corporate actions. It didn't quite work out the way it should have. But they've released some early results, but tend to suggest that there's actually been quite a cooling off in mining here in Southern Africa. This forms an important part of both the Namibian and the South African economy. So really is quite a strong number to underpin. Give us a sense of what Bell's telling us to expect in that sector.
Bell Equipment is a very interesting one. For me, it's such a cautionary tale of investors just being too greedy, frankly, when presented with a decent offer for a cyclical business. The problem at Bell is that the number of shareholders who are not concert parties or related to the family is actually very, very small. So any efforts to try and take the thing private, they end up with a small number of shareholders who can vote on it. And within that number of shareholders, you have a couple of minority shareholders who have, you know, these large positions, and they can basically block the deal. And that's what happened historically. They tried to get a better price. Eventually, the Bell family said, no, they're not going up from here. And right now, I think those shareholders may have some egg on their face, I'm afraid, because I thought it was a pretty decent offer being made for Bell. And as time has shown us, the cycle has kind of come and gone now. So really interesting comments made at their AGM. And by the way, this AGM comes after they released a trading statement dealing with the 6 months ending June. So it's quite funny. This is now the AGM for last year. but they're already releasing trading statements for the interim period. They expect HEPS to be down by around 50%, at least 50%. So it's not good. It's not good at all at the moment. And it does happen in cyclical stocks. And what they talk about is there's just been a softening of demand, actually on a global scale. They talk about how worldwide industry inventory levels are sitting at the same sort of numbers last seen in the global financial crisis, which is obviously very bad for margins and inventory obsolescence risks and all the rest. If I kind of read between the lines, it seems like Bell's inventory position is not terrible, but clearly they are struggling. As you say, the mining sector in the Southern Hemisphere, very, very important. And they talk about a general cooling off there as well. And if you look through all of the mining results, you can kind of think how Bell might be doing. Because to be honest, outside of gold, it hasn't really been a particularly great time. There have been some serious sell-offs in terms of commodity prices. And a lot of it has really hurt Southern African mining stocks. So obviously that flows through into Bell. And then on top of that, their Northern Hemisphere business, they manufacture their fancy mining trucks for the US market in Europe. And obviously, all the talk of the town now is on tariffs. So they're not quite sure what's going to happen there. All in all, it's a pretty tough time at the moment for Bell. And I just can't help but look at the situation at Barloworld and draw a comparison from that to what we saw at Bell when there was a fair offer on the table, in my opinion. Right now at Barloworld, I think it's a pretty decent offer. Will shareholders be too greedy? I don't know. Will they live with the same regrets as Bell? Well, if they don't take the offer, personally, I think they will.
I picked up another interesting story that I'd like to ask you about, and that is Hyprop, which is a property company in South Africa who raised just over 800 million rand, it would seem, in a very short period of time. So this tells us that firstly, there's a lot of money around in the marketplace looking for things to do, but it would strangely seem like they're not entirely sure what to do with that money. Am I understanding that story correctly? And what does that story tell us?
This Hyprop capital raise is super interesting, right? So they have raised, it's about 808 million essentially. And, you know, deep South African capital markets, especially in the property sector, they had no problem doing that in a book build process. In fact, the pricing was quite amazing. They managed to raise it at an ever so tiny premium to the 30-day VWAP, which is, you know, really impressive. So the market very happy to give Hyprop some money right now. And they might use it as part of an offer for MAS, and they might not. So the backstory to that is that MAS, that's MAS, is an Eastern European-focused property fund, but listed here on the JSE. It's a very weird situation where MAS has a joint venture partner over there who, by all accounts, appears to be trying to put a very cheeky bid on the table. The first indicative offer, I suppose, I almost said potential offer, but it's a bit further on than that. It's kind of like, hey, here are the terms. We're thinking about doing this. The first version of it was just embarrassing, frankly. I mean, I would be rather ashamed if I'd actually put that out into the wilderness, because when I did the maths, it looked like the offer was actually below the current traded price. And then even worse, it's an offer of part cash and then part this weird inward listed, very complicated instrument that they plan to then list in South Africa / Namibia, I think the announcement said. I could be wrong. It was basically just so convoluted and ridiculous that it was like not worth the paper it was written on. And then Hyprop came out and said, well, if that's going to be the case, we are going to have a little sniff around here, which then caused the potential bidder for MAS to come out and say, oh, okay, we're going to go relook at the terms of those instruments and we'll come back. So right now, there is no offer on the table for MAS. Is there going to be one? Maybe. If it comes from Hyprop, I think it's a lot more serious than from that joint venture partner, because the Hyprop offer would be part shares, part cash. And Hyprop shares are a well-understood thing. Obviously, they are significantly more liquid. Listed or institutional investors would have no problem holding them. Whereas to try and convince shareholders to sign up for some illiquid, weird, inward-listed instrument, like why? Why would you swap your ordinary shares in MAS for something that is harder to understand? It just doesn't make sense. So if Hyprop want to make a play for MAS here, I think that they have a good chance of getting it right. Whether or not they should, that's a bigger debate.
All right, let's turn our attention now to a company that also works up here in Namibia, and that's Robex, Free State-based road building company. Most of their revenue coming from building roads both dirt and tar. Busy at the moment doing a lot of resurfacing in Windhoek after the devastating rains in March and April. So they've got some results out, but interestingly, they've also had a whistleblower investigation. Perhaps you can give us a bit more detail what's going on with Robex.
Yeah, so what happened with Robex in early May was they received, or announced at least, that they had received an anonymous whistleblower report, and they had to go and investigate this thing. The share price was trading at around 45.70 before that announcement, and got down to just below 41 bucks before they actually came out and said, hey, we've gone and done the investigation, and actually there's nothing untoward. There's nothing to even talk about here. So that was a rather an odd outcome that led to a drawdown of about 10.5%. And nonetheless, that at least is out of the way, and it means that they've now been able to release results because those results were delayed by the whistleblower investigation. The problem with the results is that they did have some quite tough times in here, specifically in their Borba Resources Group. This is in the Material Handling and Mining Division. Operating profit plummeted there. The chrome price, so there was the main issue there. There were some pretty decent offsetting impacts elsewhere, thankfully. So the group as a whole is looking okay. And it was very strangely shaped income statement, actually, because they had a big revenue jump. In operating profit was, you know, really modest. It was up just 1.3% for the year ended Feb. But then HEPS jumped 25.9%. So, you know, these numbers were a little bit all over the place. When you see numbers like that, I just always look at the cash and the dividend. Cash generated from operations was up 31.8%. Dividend 13% higher. So overall fine. But the pressure on operating profit, definitely something to watch. And, you know, it's stuff like chrome exposure. You almost wonder why it's there, right? Why did they do that deal when actually they've got other stuff like road construction alongside exposure to the chrome price? It just makes the group quite hard to actually understand at the end of the day. Other things to keep an eye on, I would say, is their debt. Debt to equity ratio did increase quite significantly from 26% to 31.7%. So there's a big increase there in borrowings. And yeah, it's just been a bit of a messy one, really. But those who bought the, what I can only describe, the whistleblower dip have been rewarded. I wouldn't make a habit of doing that kind of thing because it really is just gambling.
All right, Ghost, thank you so much. We'll leave it at that. With the colder weather setting in, it does lead me to think, do ghosts like fires or do they avoid fires? Well, whatever it is, we'll talk to the Finance Ghost again next week right here at GhostBiz. Remember, you can get this episode and all of our previous episodes, which are now numbering into triple digits, wherever you pick up your podcasts on Apple and Spotify. Please like and subscribe to Namibia's leading business podcast. That's it for this week. We'll talk again next week.